little bit later this hour on Air Talk, we'll take a look at some novel ideas cities are considering for getting their restaurants back and open and providing an on-site dining experience. Pasadena, Long Beach, Palm Springs are all in the midst of figuring out if they can close thoroughfares and allow restaurants along those streets to bring tables out to allow people with physical distancing to have meals and a dining experience in a social setting. We'll talk about those plans coming up a little bit later this hour on Air Talk. Last week, we talked with the chancellor of the California State University System, Tim White, who was telling us about how they, with just a few exceptions, are planning to do distance learning come this fall. They're not planning to bring students, for the most part, back onto campus. Now, some of the CSUs do have residential facilities, but for the most part, they have a higher percentage of commuting students. But there are three universities who join us today on the program and a number of others that are taking this approach who are reopening campus, reopening residence halls and dining facilities come this fall. We'll talk about the numerous challenges they face in doing that, how their communities have responded, and how they're attempting to navigate the potential risk to their communities. Joining us from Concordia University in Irvine, College President Michael Thomas. Sir, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I'm very, very happy to be here.
So share with us how your school is going through this process. Do you have a committee of different campus stakeholders who are hashing this out?
Yes, actually, we've been meeting basically since March, as most of the universities throughout the United States have been doing. As of April, we've formed three distinct task forces to collectively try to answer all kinds of different questions regarding the various scenarios we face, looking at the academic calendar, academic modalities, physical distancing of our residence halls, as well as dining halls and classrooms. We're looking at testing and tracing, health and safety measures, all kinds of different scenarios. So we have three task forces focused on on-ground operations and reopening, academics and finance, and those make up about 27 different members of the administration, faculty, and staff.
And is there much dissension among members of the community with those who just feel like you shouldn't be reopening in the fall and others who are enthusiastic for it, or do you feel like you've got consensus?
I would say it's fair to say that we have a pretty good sense of consensus here, not only faculty, staff, and students, but students and their families. We've been hearing very consistently from students. I've been conducting various Zoom seminars with current students over the spring semester, and they are very much looking forward to coming back to campus. Of course, it's a balance. And so there are always students and faculty and staff members who will be immunocompromised, and we will handle those as appropriate. And this is a balance, right? Trying to provide students with a meaningful collegiate academic experience while working to minimize the risk to everyone, students, staff, faculty, as well as our neighbors in Irvine and families.
Let's talk about the residence halls, President Thomas. What sorts of ways are you going to, particularly with the restrooms in resident halls, which are shared, how are you going to deal with the safety issues there?
Well, one of the things at Concordia University Irvine, we are blessed that our residence halls are pretty spacious. We have a lot of apartment-style residence halls. So we have a committee working on specifically on opening the residence halls. Currently, we can host more than 900 students, but this committee has determined that with physical distancing and with physical barriers, we'll be actually putting up medical-grade curtains in the various rooms, and we believe we can house safely 750 students and also have sites for quarantine and isolation, as we do with any academic year regarding influenza. In terms of bathrooms, we are going to be using our contractor that provides services to be cleaning in a very regular way, in an iterative way, throughout the entire semester.
We're talking with the president of Concordia University in Irvine, Michael Thomas, joining us. And just as a side note, he just started the job in January. So talk about walking into an unexpected firestorm of COVID-19 and having to adapt fast with his administrative team and the rest of the campus community. What a challenge. Also with us from Chapman University, which is in the city of Orange, Glenn Pfeiffer. He's provost and executive vice president for academic affairs. Provost Pfeiffer, thank you for joining us today. What are some of the ways you're looking at dealing with risk of COVID spread come the fall?
Good morning, Larry, and thank you for having me on. We are planning right now to return to campus in the fall in compliance with all of the Orange County and State of California health authorities in whatever phase of returning to our normal economic operations that they have in place. Of course, we're going to be implementing a plan that will include various mitigation strategies, social distancing, screening of students for symptoms, providing a very rigorous health intervention program for those students who do have symptoms. Obviously, people in public places will be wearing face coverings. We'll be using various PPE in our science labs and courses in which that's appropriate, and following the sanitation protocols throughout the campus, including classrooms, bathrooms, residence halls, dining facilities, and so on.
Are you going to have to beef up your custodial staff considerably to be able to handle things like residence halls, restrooms, other restrooms on the campus, cleaning of public surfaces? Is that an added expense you're looking at taking on?
Yes. In fact, we've already done that this spring. Even though we're now primarily remote on campus, as this virus became an issue, we've already increased the expenditures for maintenance and cleaning around campus, and we're going to be doing that throughout the summer and into the fall as students return. We will obviously increase that significantly.
How much of the move for your school reopening is economically driven? We hear that for many of the independent universities like Chapman, the concern is if you don't reopen the campus in fall, that you might lose so many students, the financial hit would be devastating. How much of a factor was that in the decision to reopen the campus in the fall?
I would say it's a small factor for us. I think we're financially very secure. There's no question that if students don't return on campus in the fall, there will be a greater economic impact than if they do. But even with this plan to return to on-campus instruction in the fall, we're going to face some significant costs. We're going to be increasing financial aid to our students. We're going to be incurring greater costs, as we've already mentioned, for things like maintenance. We're going to be incurring a significant increase in our expenditures for technology. And all of those costs are costs that we are already planning to incur. So I don't think that this decision is primarily financially driven. The main reason we're hoping and planning to return to on-campus instruction in the fall is that our students and their parents have overwhelmingly told us that's what they want. And so while there are some students who have concerns, the vast majority are expressing a desire to get back to in-class instruction.
Have you polled your student body to determine what percent you might lose by having a return to campus?
We haven't had a specific poll. We do have a lot of input from students. And what we can tell you is that our deposits for incoming freshmen are right in line with what they were a year ago, and that our pre-registration of returning students is actually higher than it was in previous years in terms of percentage of students planning to return. And so I don't think that these plans have had a negative impact. Now, as the summer progresses, some students may make a decision not to come back or may choose to express a concern about returning. And what we are planning to do is have a certain number of classes that are available in remote status for those students. We're also concerned about students who can't come back, and I'm thinking about our international students who may have travel restrictions, or students who are in a compromised position where returning would impose a health risk. And so we want to make sure we have classes and resources available for those students as well.
What percentage of Chapman students are from Southern California?
I believe that we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40%, 40 to 45%. I can't say for sure. I know the number from Orange County is a little under 20%.
Okay. So just under half from the region. I was wondering if you might actually benefit from some students wanting to stay closer at home and wanting an on-campus experience. So maybe this actually is attracting more students because of the big pool here in Southern California.
I think that's right. I think that we will have some students in that category. We will also have some students in the situation where they prefer to stay close to home because they have a need to during this period. And so they're going to choose to stay close to home to basically live at home and not live in dormitories at a faraway university.
We're talking with Chapman University Provost and Executive VP for Academic Affairs, Glenn Pfeiffer. Also joining us from Azusa Pacific University, Interim Provost Rakshan Fernando. Thank you very much, Provost Fernando, for joining us. Anything a little different that you're looking at Azusa than we've heard so far from the administrators at Concordia and Chapman?
Larry, thank you so much for having me on this time with you. No, I think a lot of the things have already been mentioned. We have a return to campus task force that sort of dovetails with our academic return to campus task force that's creating a plan that really aligns with our state and county guidelines and directives. One of the things that we pride ourselves at APU is that our faculty and staff really want to build long-term wraparound kind of relationships with our students. And so that's one of the reasons why students overwhelmingly want to be on campus, because of the types of relationships they have with our faculty, with our staff. And we're trying to create strategies about how to do that, whether that be in a hybrid format, whether that be in a face-to-face format that sort of follows those county directives and state guidelines. Also, we're, you know, really wanting to look at our courses and how do we achieve those student learning outcomes so that our students can be the difference makers that we want them to be, changing, you know, Southern California and beyond. So that's something else, you know, we're looking at. The other thing I'll say, Larry, just in terms of how we've closed out the spring semester that I think was successful, is that we did an overall campaign of student calling and of faculty calling, where we repurposed our employees to have high-touch conversations three times over the, you know, March, April, and May, where we were connecting with students to see how they were doing, what resources they need, how they can be better served in their distance learning environment. And that, I think, was really, really an effective way, a bridge to make it through the rest of the semester, and so that we can help and strategize and think through how to effectively reopen campus in this new COVID environment.
And, you know, you're in Los Angeles County, where the per capita cases of COVID have been higher than in Orange County, where Chapman and Concordia are. Does that make you a bit more cautious about reopening APU to students?
I mean, I think we're going to be following and closely monitoring the information and the guidelines that are coming out from the LA County of Supervisors. I should also let you know that we're in multiple counties. Our regional campuses are in Victorville, in Inland Empire, in San Diego, in Orange, and in Murrieta. So we're dealing with multiple counties, and so that gives us a level of complexity that other institutions might not have. But yeah, I think we are going to be very careful in our reopening, that we're aligning and we're in step with what LA County is kind of guiding and instructing at this point.
Let me go back to Concordia President Michael Thomas. I know you were on a call earlier this morning with a number of your counterparts, and I'm just wondering what you're seeing as the trend. Does it appear that the majority of the private independent colleges, universities here in Southern California are planning for on-campus classes in the fall?
Larry, I would say that is the case. I mean, we understand that other public and private universities, community colleges in our area are making different decisions based on their context and their circumstances. But many of the private schools like Concordia University Irvine have the benefit of being much more flexible. For example, at Concordia University Irvine, we are a small private Lutheran Christian university. We are very blessed to sit on a hill overlooking the city of Irvine. We're in a secluded, gated community with buildings and green spaces that spread 70 acres, and we have an average class size of 15. So these factors allow us to flexibly and safely modify our class modalities, our physical plant, and we can control the flow of traffic through our campus as well as offering spaces for outdoor recreation. So many of the private schools, because of our locations, but also because of our class sizes, are much more flexible when facing something like COVID-19.
How are you going to accommodate professors or other staff members who are at greater risk because of age or underlying health condition, but who for financial reasons might feel like they've got to come back to work, but you don't ideally want them to put themselves at risk? So are there ways of accommodating them?
We are in the process right now of working with the provost and also other supervisors on campus to identify, using human resources as well, to identify faculty and staff who just either have immunocompromised situations or just are not comfortable coming back to campus. So we're going to work with them individually. With faculty, we can also utilize those faculty in particular to offer online classes to the students who prefer that modality who are in similar situations. Again, as Provost Pfeiffer said, the vast majority of our faculty and staff and students are really longing for August and beyond when we can get back to some kind of face-to-face instruction. But of course, we're going to do so, even though we're optimistic, we're going to do so following all the state and local guidelines that are put in place.
Want to thank you very much. That's the president of Concordia University Irvine, Michael Thomas. My thanks to Rakshan Fernando, interim provost at Azusa Pacific University, Christian University in Azusa, and Glenn Pfeiffer, provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at Chapman University in the city of Orange. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, we'll talk about some Southern California cities that are looking at ways to try and help their local restaurants when the time to reopen comes by allowing for more outdoor dining. We'll talk about the novel ideas in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.